sometimes things just kind of pop up in your news feed about like how people are living or what they're spending money on. But I think most of us are living in reality. We're being smart with our money. We're not making crazy splurges. And that's one of the things that's great about Klarna. It is your smarter everyday money partner, and it's built on a really simple idea. Money should work with people, not against them.
Klarna is basically the anti-chaotic way to handle your finances because it puts everything in one place. You get flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds up completely automatically, and support that actually shows up for you.
Using it makes you realize you're actually great with money. You just needed tools that are good to you.
Download the Klarna app or head to Klarna.com. That's K-L-A-R-N-A.com. Klarna.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply. Having the right people in your corner, it just makes all the difference.
Lady, having you in my corner.
Aw, well, right back at ya. Well, we are working with State Farm, and one of the things I like about State Farm is knowing that you have that support. Because like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Whether you need coverage for your car or your home, you can choose the right amount of coverage for you.
Boats, motorcycles, RVs, an agent can help you. And when that part's handled, you can focus on the best part, like taking your new car out on the road.
That's right. You can go online at statefarm.com or use the award-winning app to get help from one of their local agents.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you create an affordable price when you choose to bundle home and auto insurance.
You have options to choose from to help best fit your needs. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can choose to bundle and save with their personal price plan.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the Ultimate Office Lovers podcast just for you.
Each week, we will dive deeper into the world of The Office with exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes details, and lots of BFF stories.
We're the Office Ladies 6.0.
Hello!
Hi there!
Yay!
What's up?
We got energy today.
We do. Is it because we're starting a little bit later? I've had lunch. I've had several iced teas.
Yeah, I've had breakfast and lunch now.
Yeah.
We usually record in the mornings.
I know. Fuller tank after lunch.
I think so.
You guys, we're giving you the play-by-play. We have a super fun episode today. I know we say that all the time, but this is something that is so close to my heart. You guys, you know, I love the candy bag alts. We fell in love with them during our rewatch of The Office. And today we are going to dig in deep to some candy bags.
Yes. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know what we're talking about when we say the Office candy bag. But just in case we have some new folks listening today, quick recap. So on the set of The Office, the writers used to write us extra dialogue that would serve as like alternate jokes in a scene or maybe an alternate take on a talking head.
Exactly. And then sometimes they would write us multiple pages of alts, and Greg was worried that we would get grumpy about having to learn all these extra lines. So he came up with this sort of phrase called candy bag, because his theory was, well, basically, who's ever sad about getting a bag of candy?
Isn't that such a way that one would manipulate Michael Scott? Specifically?
Yes. Greg said that he sort of thought of us as like his children.
Yeah.
And he was like, what would I say to my kids to motivate them? Ooh, candy.
Well, what we've learned over the years of rewatching The Office for this podcast is that the candy bag alts are full of wonderful treasures. Just hilarious moments written for each of our characters. Angela, you started digging into them and they're always so fun. We got a couple letters. First, from Marcus R. in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who said, hi, ladies. I love the podcast. I've been listening since the beginning. I know you like to hear how people listen, and I listen when I walk my dog, Luke, in the evenings.
Luke. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I love animals with real human
people names.
Yes.
I know. Marcus doesn't say what kind of dog Luke is, but I'm imagining a golden retriever.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe write us back, Marcus. Tell us if we're right.
Yeah.
But Marcus goes on to say, I love when Angela shares from the candy bag. I can't believe how they could write so many different versions of the same scene or talking head, and they are all so freaking funny. And Sarah P. from Flagstaff, Arizona said, I've been listening to the second drinks, and I love every time Angela shares from the candy bag.
Well, Sarah and Marcus, thank you, because I love it too. And like you said, it's just treasure after treasure. So we thought it might be fun to do an episode where we share candy bag alts for each character of The Office. And we figured, what better way to start than with Michael Scott? Holy moly, people. Mm-hmm. We have uncovered some amazing Michael moments. We can't wait to share them with you.
But first, let's start with our chit chat from Carolyn G. in Orange County, California.
Hi, ladies. I'm also a fan of Amy Poehler's podcast, Good Hang, and she often brings up her Enneagram number, which is that personality test from a scale from 1 to 9, and she compares hers with her guests. And I was wondering if you ladies have ever taken that test and if you think your number matches you well or not. I'm so curious to hear. Thanks.
Thanks, Carolyn.
I know. I was really curious about this because I'm also a fan of Amy's podcast and I've heard her talk about it and I didn't know what it was.
I've known what it is for a while.
Uh-huh.
I did not ever take the test because I don't know what this says about me. Maybe this is fitting within my Enneagram, mm-hmm. but I don't love things that sort of put me in a
label.
Yeah. You know, I don't like psychics telling me my future mm-hmm. because I believe in free will. And like, I don't believe that like my life was like set out, like that it was only ever going to be one way. Like I believe we can choose our destiny. And so I sort of feel that way. Mm-hmm. But for you, Carolyn, I took this test.
Wow.
And I sent it to you, Ange.
You did. Look what you did for love of the podcast community, lady. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I know.
I also took the test. Unlike you, one, I didn't know about it. Two, I wasn't nervous about it. And three, whatever they say, I'm like, eh, whatever.
I'm maybe so curious me, what not. You are. I don't know what the 9 are. I just know what I am now.
Okay. I don't know what the 9 are either, but I guess Amy is an 8. I looked that up.
Oh.
So I guess what an 8 is called is the challenger.
Okay.
And I don't know very much about this, guys. So I guess a challenger energy is described as someone who charges the room, gets into action immediately. They have a desire to lead and manage power effectively, things like that.
Well, the test that we took gave me like a percentage mm-hmm. for each one of the 9 types.
Yeah.
I have one that I was 95%.
Me too.
Like my number one was like a strong number one.
Same.
Incidentally, I am number one. I'm a type one.
What is that?
The reformer.
The reformer. Ooh.
I focus on ethics, order, precision, and the inner critic.
Oh.
It was kind of accurate. It was kind of bumming me out how accurate it was.
Well,
for all of my not wanting to be painted with one brush.
My 95% category is type two, the helper.
Wow.
And I focus on generosity, the need to be needed. I don't know if that's great. And the fear of being unlovable. I don't think that's me.
I don't think you have a fear of being unlovable. I think you know how lovable you are.
Oh, stop.
No, but you have. I think you know that you are good at loving people and being loved.
I like helping people. I do.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something there that I like to be of service and needed. My second highest score, though, was the challenger.
Oh,
same as Amy Poehler. I charge into a room.
Yeah.
And want to help you aggressively.
You know, what's interesting. My helper score is very low. The helper. Oh. 52% the helper. My second was the achiever. So I'm a reformer and an achiever, I guess.
Well, the reformer score is 80%.
Oh, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You're with me.
What's okay. your lowest score?
My lowest was the peacemaker. I don't know what that means.
My peacemaker's right in the middle. It's 83. My lowest was, this makes me sound like such a basic bitch. My lowest score was the individualist. I just want to go with the flow.
You know, I remember the questions that I think might have like pertained to being a person who is the peacemaker, you know, because it's all like strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. And I feel like peacemaker questions were things like, it's very hard for me when people are in conflict. It's not hard for me. I don't feel the need to make peace. I think we can spend time in a messy, confrontational space where we're figuring things out. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I have to say, I was not a fan of the test. I don't like tests that are like multiple choice.
How would you have done the test differently?
I don't know. This is not my job to create the test, but I'm just saying I wasn't a fan. I don't like strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree.
Did you strongly agree or strongly disagree to things?
Sometimes.
Yeah, same.
Same.
I strongly agreed to a lot of stuff.
Well, you're a reformer.
Yeah. It's true, I guess.
Well, it was very interesting. Sam, have you taken this test?
No, I haven't. I'm going to take it right now.
Oh, will you tell us at the end what your score is? Okay.
Do you want us to send it to you, the one that we took?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. It costs $1.50 to get your results.
I'm more than willing to pay.
I'm pretty sure now I'm going to be on an email list, too.
Oh, yeah. Your information sold for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Carolyn, there you go. If I ever go on Good Hang, I'll know my score. That's good, right?
Oh, yeah. And I want to ask her about being the challenger.
Yeah. You share that.
I do. That's number two on my list.
I know. All right. Well, everyone, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, buckle in because it's Michael Scott Candy Bag. Okay. We need to talk about cat litter smell because if you have cats, or in my case, if you're fostering cats, I always have that fear that someone's going to walk into my house and immediately be like, oh, multiple cats live here.
Lady, our litter box is off the nook by our kitchen, and I really worry about that, but it's the only place where it can fit.
What has changed my life is Catalyst. Catalyst pet litter is totally different.
It's made from soft wood fiber, so it naturally controls odor without covering it up with like a fake perfumey smell.
Mm-hmm.
There's no smells that linger because it absorbs so fast. And bonus, there's way less dust, so you're not breathing in those weird clay particles.
So if you love your cats, but you would also like to live in a nice smelling home, Catalyst Pet is the move. Give Catalyst a try. You can pick up a bag at Walmart or at catalystpet.com.
Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break.
But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple.
We all know about Snapple's iconic real facts, so let's take a minute to go over some of our faves.
Snapple Real Fact 705, every ton of recycled paper saves about 17 trees.
Snapple Real Fact 253, the first TV remote control introduced in 1950 was called Lazy Bones.
Snapple Real Fact 2033, Americans consume 150 million hot dogs on July 4th.
Snapple Real Fact 855, Oregon has more ghost towns than any other U.S. state.
So, grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day.
Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show.
We are back, and to kick things off, I thought we needed a little candy.
Like real life candy?
Real candy.
What did you bring?
Well, I wanted to know, did Michael Scott have a favorite candy?
Is it like the whatchamacallit or something?
Well, that's not his favorite. And I couldn't find anything really specifically. He loves sweets. We know that. Mm-hmm. But in The Meeting, season 6, episode 2, he does try to share his love of jelly beans with Jim. So I brought jelly beans.
Oh, great.
There you go. And have some jelly beans.
Okay.
Do you like jelly beans?
I do. What's not to like?
I know. I like them too.
I love jelly beans. I even love some funky flavors.
Oh, so do you like a Jelly Belly that has like a real flavor? Or do you like the ones that I brought? These are just like your typical like Brock's tiny jelly beans, like the kind you have at Easter. Guess where mine are from?
Easter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The outside was a little crunchy.
Well, I want him out of my house.
You were?
So thank
spring
you.
Cleaning. I was like talking to you and you were telling me all the different stuff you were cleaning out. So yeah. I guess you just got rid of your jelly beans.
Well, I'm lucky. Michael Scott liked them. Mm-hmm. So it worked out.
You are.
So listen, I was also really curious when we said we were going to dig into these, and I wanted to get into the context of like, how did the candy bags work from a production standpoint? Mm. You know, like, how would they decide which version of a scene or a talking head to use? So we reached out to Dave Rogers to ask him, and we said, when he would do his assembly, when he would do his editor's pass, would he use the scripted version or did he have license to put in the candy bag one? Like, how were these things organized? How did it all work?
This is very much your producer brain wanting to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I love about you. Well, here's what Dave said. By the way, Dave always gets back to us right away.
I know.
I know I say it a gazillion times, but I love him. He said, we would get all of the takes of a talking head and the assistant editors would usually label them as alt A, alt B, etc. And the editors would watch them all and put into the assembly whatever take they liked the best. It did not matter if it was the scripted line or a must shoot alt or a candy bag alt. Same for scenes in the show. It didn't matter to the editors if a line was officially scripted or if there was a new joke or dialogue that a writer pitched on set or an actor improvised. Once a scene was filmed and ready to edit, whatever was the funniest and best served the show, and that made it into the cut.
Very interesting. So the editors really had a lot of agency to go through that footage and mm-hmm. kind of pick what they thought worked best.
Yeah. Remember, Jenna, when you and I co-presented at the Editors Awards? Mm-hmm. And I remember several people, as they got up and they were talking about the different awards they got, a theme was that a writer writes the script, but the second storyteller is the editor. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when Lee made his movie, The Giant Mechanical Man, we shot the scenes in a certain order. But then when he went in with his editor, they rearranged stuff.
That's crazy to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They moved certain things up, or it was like, we put all the comedy in a row. Maybe we want to break it up with something more sentimental or something more moving. And I was fascinated because that was the first time that I had been attached to a project from a producerial standpoint where sure. I really saw stuff from like page to screen. Mm-hmm. And it changed a lot in editing.
Yeah. Editors are amazing. Full stop. Well, let's really dig in now to these Michael Scott candy bag alts. Jenna, I did not tell you which episodes I dug into. My only hint to you was that I took things from our early seasons. Mm-hmm. And are you ready for something pretty amazing from season two?
What?
I can't even believe I found this because we did such a comprehensive breakdown of this particular episode with Greg Daniels. Try to guess the episode.
Booze Cruise?
Yes! How is there anything left for Discovery about Booze Cruise? But I'm telling you, the candy bags are amazing. So remember the scene in Booze Cruise at the beginning of the episode when everyone's in the conference room and Michael is sharing that they're going to go on this boat as part of his, quote, leadership exercises?
Yes.
And he has a talking head about being a motivational speaker. I want to play for you what made it into the episode. And then I want you to know that there were 7 candy bag alts for this one talking head. They're hilarious. I'm going to pick 4 favorites to share with you, but let's hear the one that made it in the episode first.
I am a great motivational speaker. I attended a Tony Robbins event by the airport last year, and it wasn't the actual course. You have to pay for the actual course. But it talked about the actual course. And I've incorporated a lot of his ideas into my own course.
So yeah, there were 7 candy bag alts for this. I just want to share with you some of my favorites.
Okay.
Here's one. Michael would have said, I have incorporated many of his ideas. Michael, give us all the answers. No, I will not do that. I will lead you to the answers and give you some of the answers. You will get the rest of the answers when you pay for my course.
It's ridiculous.
And then he said, here's another alt. Tony Robbins is international. I am local and national. So more accessibility to people, thus better at motivating. I get so happy when I motivate someone and so sad when I do the opposite, which is why I stopped doing that. So wait, he stopped motivating people?
For fear of doing the opposite?
Of making them sad? Anyway, cracked me up. All right, here's another one. Tony Robbins is about reaching for the stars. My employees are never going to reach the stars, and telling them they can is just mean. What I can do is get them drunk and motivate them to just reach up, reach to the ceiling. Okay, wait, I have two more. When I motivationally speak, it's like a natural high for me. I can see why people are addicted to crack, because when I motivate, I want to motivate again like 15 minutes later. What?
Michael.
All right. So that's a little bit of Michael Scott, Candybag Alts from Booze Cruise, season 2. And then I thought, what's happening in season 3? Lady, almost like I spun a wheel, I just did my cursor down my computer and I just landed on Beach Games.
Ooh.
Ooh. Are you ready? This is like so fun. The Michael Scott talking head alts for Beach Games were super stacked. I shared a little bit in our second drink about talking heads that Phyllis and Meredith had because people had a lot of feelings about this beach day. But I want to share the ones where Michael is really sort of trying to figure out his legacy as he's leaving Dunder Mifflin to go to the corporate offices. Here's the talking head that aired, and then I'm going to share a few that were in the candy bag alts.
I want today to be a beautiful memory that the staff and I share after I have passed on to New York. And if Toby is a part of it, then it'll suck.
Oh yeah, this is how he manages to like leave Toby behind, right?
Uh-huh. But this is sort of the beginning of this runner about like, what is his legacy, right? And then they wrote a ton of alts. And I want to share them with you.
Oh, amazing.
What do you remember from a movie? The ending? You know, at the end of Pirates of the Caribbean, when Johnny Depp goes, "Arg!" That's all I remember from that movie. And it was my favorite movie, too. So through all the ups and downs, all the trials and tribbianis, when they remember Michael Scott and Scranton, they're going to remember it was a day at the beach. Arg! Most of all, I love that he says trials and tribbianis. Do you think he loved Friends? He must have loved Friends.
Of course,
right?
Of course, Michael loved Friends.
Of course. Here's another one. One of the best fortune cookies I ever got, quote, "Live so that your name will be written in hearts, not in stone." And an all-time best, quote, "Help, I am trapped in a fortune cookie factory." That's what I want people to remember of the days I spent in Scranton. Jokes, games, hugs. Quote, "Working for Michael was like a day at the beach." But if that doesn't sum up Michael Scott,
yeah,
what he wanted his employees to remember were jokes, games, and hugs.
Yeah.
All right. I have three more, and then I promise I'll be done. They were so good. Here's another one from Michael. "When I'm working in my fancy new corporate office and I think of Scranton, I don't want to remember just Pam answering the phone or Stanley writing up purchase orders. I want to remember them like they'll be today, having splash fights and digging castles in the sand, just playing like children, and maybe some of them in bikinis."
Oh, dear.
Okay, here's one more. "My favorite kind of sale is a twofer. Pay full price for one thing, get another of the same thing for free. What's better than a twofer? A threefer. And that's what today is. We're going to the beach, have a great time. And in the meantime, I'm going to find my replacement. And the staff is going to have a full day worth of memories that say, Michael Scott is the best boss ever. Three for the price of fun." Three for the price of fun, lady. Jokes, games, and hugs. This is Michael Scott. Last one. Okay, for real, last one. Michael would have said this. "I have an interior motive for going to the beach."
An interior motive?
"I can't decide who to recommend as my replacement. Not surprising. Tall order. I'm going to test them all with carnival games until a hero emerges." Anyway, those are some Michael Scott candy bag alts from Booze Cruise and Beach Games. I thought you get a little season 2, you get a little season 3. How amazing were those?
I mean, every single one of them is gold.
I know.
Truly.
Trials and tribbianis. Come
on. I can hear like Steve doing them too.
I know. I'm sorry you guys had to put up with me reading them because I can just hear Michael Scott's voice so clear in my head. But I mean, There's so many that I just now want to commit to memory. Jokes, Games and Hugs, Trials and Tribbianis, I Have an Interior Motive.
I mean, those are all great.
I know. The thing I was the most surprised about all those alts is that there wasn't more Toby bashing.
Well, lady, I knew you were looking into early season candy bags. So I decided to look into one of my favorite episodes, one of my just personal favorite episodes, Dream Team.
Got it.
I was particularly curious if there were any alts from when Pam goes to Michael's condo and he's making the French toast, because I felt like I remembered shooting alternates for that. And first of all, I want to share that the candy bag for Dream Team was 54 pages long.
That's nuts.
Almost twice as long as the actual script.
Right.
Yeah. Now, part of that is because what they'll do is they'll put the scripted talking head followed by then what the alts are, or they'll put the scene followed by the alts. So you have the original one to reference, but still, I mean, candy bags were thicker than our scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through, looking at these 54 pages, and I was right. There were a bunch of extended alternate endings for the scene where Michael asks Pam how she wants her French toast. So first, let's listen to how the scene went down.
This looks great, Michael.
Thank you. Would you like some French toast?
Yes, please.
What shape?
Square is fine.
All right.
So that's it. It's very simple.
Yeah.
But they had all these alternate endings that they wrote for the scene. And I found this kind of fascinating because I thought that, like, this was such a good example of how even like the smallest moments, they were so dedicated to them being as funny as possible that they wrote alternates to that little French toast exchange.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's an alternate. Michael says, French toast. Pam says, yes, please. He says, what shape? And then it says, Pam, caught off guard. Square is fine. Michael, where's your sense of adventure? Pam, you're right. Triangle it is. Pause. Michael says, how about squares?
Because that's what he can clearly make.
Pam goes, sure. There were two more. Michael says, French toast? Pam says, yes, please. Michael says, any allergies I should know about? Pam says, shellfish. Michael says, let me wash my hands.
What?
Hey, what were you doing before I got there, Michael?
Oh, Lord.
What happened? What were you handling before I arrived?
I don't want to know.
Okay. Michael says, French toast? Pam says, yes, please. Michael says, sourdough or white? Pam says, sourdough. Michael says, that one's not sliced. Pam says, white is fine. And then Michael, in an exuberant French accent, says, toast français. That's it.
Toast français.
Toast français. But I just loved it. And I remember we did all of those.
I was going to say,
yeah,
I
we ran through them.
Where we would get to like set things up a little differently line by line.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those moments led to the best take that was none of those, but it like freed you up somehow,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. So then, if you remember, later in this episode, Michael, Ryan, Vikram, and Pam, they all go to see Michael's Nana at the nursing home.
Yeah.
And they're going to pitch Michael Scott Paper Company to her investment group, which is an actual group of people who might give them money.
It was so good.
So when he gets there, Michael goes through and he introduces all of us. And he has a way of introducing us that kind of like makes us sound better than we are. But here, let's listen.
I have assembled what I believe to be the most exciting, sought-after talent in the industry today. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Dream Team. From our very own Scranton, Pennsylvania, Pam Beasley. Pretty Pam is always reaching for the stars, and someday she may just surprise us all and grab one. Meet Vikram. From his humble beginnings as a prominent surgeon, he risked it all to become the most successful telemarketer in the lipoephedrine industry. And do not call it a comeback. The youngest vice president in the history of Dunder Mifflin and recent bowling alley employee, Ryan Howard is about to make a splash in paper.
Are you about to tell me there are alts for the intros?
Only for the intros of Ryan.
Oh, come on.
Which I found so telling.
Yeah.
Because I think they just had a really good time writing alternate ways for Michael to introduce that particular character.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan. So there were 10 alts.
Oh.
I'm going to read 5. He might have said, with extensive experience in the criminal justice system, or a maverick who's used to breaking all the rules.
Nice.
He knows the world of pharmaceuticals from the inside. I liked this one. An outspoken advocate for justice who has argued in front of judges throughout the state. It's a nice spin.
It's a nice spin on his court hearing.
Exactly. And also, a man of substances who doesn't know the meaning of the word quit. So there you go. And also, while I was digging around in the candy bags, I found an episode pitch called Michael Goes to Washington. This is sort of the ultimate candy bag, yeah, right? Yeah. It's a whole episode pitch. This would have been a card on the wall.
Yeah.
And I thought I could share that as well.
Let's hear it.
Here's what would have happened in Michael Goes to Washington. The episode was going to start with Michael coming into the office. He's been at the dentist and he's holding a year-old copy of Economist magazine.
Okay.
Apparently, he read it all cover to cover in the waiting room, and he is now suddenly terrified about America's future.
Oh, no. This is classic Michael. Like, he's okay.
But remember, everything he's read is 1 year old.
Right.
Nonetheless, he orders various people into the conference room to brainstorm solutions to America's problems. I'm sorry. Is that not a conference room scene that you would love to see? Various members of the office brainstorming America's problems.
I mean, this is the thing that Mindy has said in interviews that she would love to write Michael Scott's like take on things.
I know, like incredible. So as they're doing this research, Dwight tells everybody that these problems are a non-issue because the Earth will not survive the Yellowstone supervolcano. Side note, that is a real thing. I didn't know.
What?
The Yellowstone supervolcano. I didn't know about it. Do you know about it?
No.
I Googled it.
There's a supervolcano?
There is a massive volcanic system under Yellowstone National Park.
Is that why Old Faithful blows all the time?
I don't know. But if it explodes, when it explodes, they're saying it'll explode. Probably not in the next 100 years, but eventually. It will cover most of the United States with ash and sulfur dioxide.
What?
Yeah.
It's like an ice age event. It's just going to like wipe everything out.
Yes. To Dwight's point, nothing will matter because we're going to go into like a decades long volcanic winter. Like crops will die. Temperatures will plummet. It's just something to think about. Worry about that.
Okay. I need Michael Bay to get on this. He needs to cast Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to Armageddon this shit.
Yeah. You know what? It's an Oppo Armageddon. In Armageddon, they send the oil guys, the drillers, up into space.
I know.
Why don't we get a group of astronauts to dig into the volcano?
Into the volcano.
Right.
It writes itself.
It does. Get someone on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do you want to watch Armageddon with me? When's the last time you saw it?
Oh, my God. It's been forever ago. You want to do it?
Oh my God, Sam, have you seen Armageddon?
Yeah, I've seen Armageddon.
Like recently?
No, not since theaters. Since me 1996.
Either. I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater. How is it that we all remember it so well? It's clearly an amazing movie. Do we need to do it as an Office Ladies does Armageddon?
Yes.
Yes.
Some are blockbuster. Office Ladies do Armageddon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Stay tuned. All right. Back to the plot. Michael is going to choose a team. He's decided that their ideas are so great, they need to get them to a representative in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So he chooses a team to go with him to deliver their findings. He chooses Dwight and Andy. And when they get there, and it looks like the intention was to shoot this in Washington, D.C., they get distracted.
Oh.
Can you believe it? Michael wants to visit the Smithsonian because the set from MASH is there. Dwight wants to visit the Secret Service. He also has a bone to pick with the Department of Agriculture, and he wants to look at the back of the Declaration of Independence. According to this document, they will eventually meet their congressman. Dwight has a complicated plan for breaking into the office and ambushing him, but when they get there, it's actually not hard to get access at all. The congressman is just like wandering around the halls, which feels to me very much like the episode where like they break in to Utica and they like steal the whole copier.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a very elaborate plan that didn't need to be such.
Exactly. They could just walk right in.
Right. And it says the congressman is very friendly and charming, but passes them off to an aide who gives them each a signed photo and a flag pin.
Aw.
That's kind of how it is.
They get like a coaster or a napkin. They're like so happy.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that so much. Gosh, the candy bags, they don't disappoint.
They don't.
We need to do this for every character.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then we can loop back because there's more Michael Scott we didn't cover, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just all too much fun. And now we have an assignment, Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should take a break and come back with some around the towns.
And our office question of the week. The Office Superfan extended episodes are now available on digital and Blu-ray.
Office fans, you do not want to miss out on these. Jenna and I have been rewatching these Superfan episodes. They are fantastic.
Yes, there are over 25 hours of unaired footage that was not shown in the initial TV broadcast. All of the episodes of The Office have been re-edited and extended.
They are bigger. They are longer. That's what she said. And you can watch them ad-free with no subscription required. Let me tell you guys, this collection was worth the wait.
This collection will leave you satisfied.
Now that's what she said.
Get all 194 episodes of The Office Superfan extended episodes digitally on Amazon, Apple, Fandango, At Home, or your favorite digital retailer.
And own the entire collection forever on Blu-ray, available on Amazon, Walmart, or wherever you buy your movies and TV shows. You know what I love about Chicken of the Sea?
What?
I like it, it's tasty, and I can grab and go.
You know what I like about it?
What?
Lots of protein.
Yes, exactly.
Chicken of the Sea has something for everyone, including an expansive portfolio of tuna, salmon, sardines, and more available in cans and portable packets. I love the portable packets. I have bought the portable packets.
Yeah, same here. There's also a new Chicken of the Sea wild-caught light tuna with Frank's Red Hot. Oh my gosh, my son's put Frank's Red Hot on everything. They're going to love that.
Chicken of the Sea tuna packets are portable. They're great for hiking, camping, perfect for office lunches, or as a quick snack.
To learn more about Chicken of the Sea, visit chickenofthesea.com and look out for their products sold in-store and online nationwide at major retailers.
Try Chicken of the Sea's new Frank's Red Hot tuna packet today.
You know, sometimes it feels like everything at work can be kind of falling apart. That's when it's a job for sponsored jobs.
Yes, when you need a hiring hero, an Indeed sponsored job will match you with quality candidates.
And if you're tired of struggling just to get your job post seen on other sites, Indeed sponsored jobs gives your listing the ultimate boost in search results to connect you with the talent you actually need. Plus, you only pay for results. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for sponsored jobs.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves
at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast.
Indeed.com/podcast.
Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. We are back, and our first Around the Town comes from Lexi T. in County Cork, Ireland. Lexi wrote in and said this: "This past weekend, I completed my first proper hike in preparation for the Three Peaks Challenge in the UK. The challenge will aim to have the team summit the three highest peaks in the UK all within 24 hours in support of raising funds for cancer research in Ireland and the UK. Go team! Oh my gosh, go Lexi!
You're going to climb three mountains in 24 hours?
I don't even understand how that's possible.
I don't either. This is a feat. Lexi, I have questions. You're saying you just completed your first proper hike in preparation? Wow.
I mean, I
know people train for marathons.
That's right. Well, Lexi, I want to look that up because that sounds pretty impressive. And I wish you all the luck.
I bet you're going to see some beautiful scenery as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, Julia M. from Toledo, Ohio. Angela, I think you're going to like this. Back on May 23rd this year, the Toledo Mud Hens hosted a The Paper Night. The event featured Oscar Nunez, post-game fireworks, and a can koozie giveaway.
I knew about this because, you know, I keep up with Oscar and I saw that he was doing it. And I love the Toledo Mud Hens.
I know. That's why I'm saying you've become a fan since the paper.
I've become a fan. So what a fun night. All right. Our last around the town is from Frank B. in Lakeville, Minnesota. Frank says, in Lakeville, we have our own hometown celebrity, a shirtless guy called Stickman, who spends his days walking around town carrying a giant wooden staff. He's half Tom Hanks in Castaway and half Midwestern Gandalf. And yes, virtually everyone knows him. What started in 2007 as a local man just going out for a walk turned into one of the most wholesome traditions in town. He walks for hours every day, handing out flyers or waving at passing cars with a giant stick he found in the woods. Because apparently, Minnesotans will turn literally anything into a friendly gesture. Kids get excited when they spot him, and locals proudly explain him to confused visitors like, ah, that's just Stickman. We love him. Honestly, every community says they're unique, but not every community has a mysterious wandering folk hero who spreads joy on the local streets. Lakeville does, and we're proud of our hometown hero.
I love it. I feel like I could be that.
You could be the
stick lady.
The stick lady?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you?
Well, I have a giant stick, number one.
Number one.
And I walk around.
And you walk around.
And I just wave at people. And I hand out flyers about, I don't know what, anything I want.
Just friendly things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It's like, I mean, you know I like David Sedaris.
Mm-hmm.
And he just decided to clean the road by this little village he lives in outside of London.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of become like a little local, like not celebrity, but kind of like, oh, he's the guy that picks up trash.
Yeah.
And he does it every day.
I mean, people must be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could do that too.
Yeah. Plus, who doesn't love a great stick?
Who doesn't?
I mean, how many hours did you spend with your kids on walks and they'd get so excited if they found a good stick?
You know what we found in our garage when we cleaned it out? Okay, this is crazy. Talk about a giant stick. Way up high, almost by the ceiling of the garage.
Okay.
Because we had to clear out the whole garage because we took everything out. We put it all back
in. Shelves and all that.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
On a couple of nails. I don't know how long this thing has been there.
Like old rusted nails?
Mm-hmm. Like perched on these nails was the longest, like the length of the whole wall piece of like a bamboo stick, like a bamboo stick. And Lee and I were like, what? Like, why? Like someone cared enough to put these nails here and put this up here.
Yeah. That bamboo stick was important to them.
For what reason? We couldn't figure out what it was. So then, a few days pass. Lee comes up to me. He says, I think I know what it's for.
What?
I'm like, what? What is it for? And he said that we'd had a rain and our gutters were full of leaves. And so the rainwater was like dripping down by the window on the house. You know, the gutter was full.
Yeah.
He said, I got up on a ladder and I thought, I need something I can poke these leaves out with. I just need something to get these leaves out of the gutter. And I remembered the stick. I remembered the bamboo stick. And he said, Jenna, I got it. And it was exactly the length of the gutter. And it was like pliable and it wasn't too heavy, but it was also firm enough. And he cleared our gutters. He goes, I think that man used it to clear the gutters. He's convinced. We kept it. We put it back up on the nails.
I was going to say, that is part of your home now.
Yeah.
Done.
Giant stick.
Giant stick. What a find.
I mean.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Clearly, Frank from Minnesota, we got very excited about your stick man story.
Our office question of the week comes from Sarah L. in Arlington, Virginia, who said, if you ladies were going to do one other job on the set of The Office, which job would you want to do and why? This is very interesting to Sarah because there's the job or jobs that I think I would be good at,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want them. And then there's the job I would want, but I don't think I'd be good.
Well, I know what you'd be good at, and that'd be like our line producer.
Yeah.
You'd be very good. You would know our budget. You would know what we could spend. You would know like all the things to make us stay on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd be very good at. Can I try to guess what you'd want to do, but you don't think you'd be good at?
Sure. I won't be offended.
Like.
This could get dicey quick.
Well, I was thinking like maybe like.
What am I like not good at is basically the question exactly. that you're pondering.
I was like going to say like, I mean, the hair and makeup trailer is a really fun place to be.
What are you saying? What are you saying about my hair and makeup skills?
I am saying, I think you put yourself together very well, but we have both sort of bonded over the years in the fact that we don't wear a lot of makeup uh-huh. and we don't do much with our hair. Look at us today. Look at us.
Okay, fair enough. That wasn't what I was thinking. Is okay. there anything else you think I'm not good at?
Yeah, I'll keep going. what about like the construction?
Oh my gosh. No, that also was not my answer.
Okay, I'm done. What?
Directing.
Oh, you'd be great at directing. That's why I didn't even guess that. I disagree with your internal monologue. You'd be a great director.
I don't think so. I think directors, they have to be able to look at things from the outside
yeah.
and like create, they have to paint a whole picture.
Yes.
And I don't think, I just don't, that's not how my brain works. Like yeah. I'm all character, you know, yeah. and from the inside out. And so I just don't think I would know where to like point the camera or tell people to stand. Like I don't see it that way when I read it. But I would love to be a director because then I would be on set and I'd be in the creative process, mm-hmm. but I will not have ever gone through hair and makeup.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have to wear clothes that are uncomfortable.
Right, exactly.
So that would be my choice of my dream mm-hmm. job.
I love directing. You know, it's been a long time, but I had directed some theater and stuff in college. And the only thing for me is because I do like a big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I get really impatient. If like... There was this one gal who just was not getting the note for this performance note that
mm-hmm,
I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed to just be like, she's just going to do it her way. She can't like process any kind of change. And, but I think I was I maybe was a little short.
Well, this is another thing about directing, which is that you get asked so many questions all yeah. day. I yeah. don't have the temperament for that.
Yeah.
So in that way, I don't
It's your wedding day every single day.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want this color cranberry or that color mm-hmm. cranberry?
And then you have someone come up to you who's just like, you're in the middle of something and they're like, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom. And you're like, what? What am I? I'm the bride.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge of toilet paper today.
Yeah.
But just people just come up and say all kinds of stuff to you.
You have to solve every problem.
Yeah.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have to be nice
mm-hmm.
and patient.
So what would you want to do, lady? Should I say the things I think you shouldn't do?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yes, you should. You
no,
should.
I'm kidding.
Come on.
I don't think you should run catering. I don't.
What? I throw great parties.
Crafty.
Yes.
You can be in charge of crafty.
Snacks. I could be in charge
snacks,
of snacks.
100%.
100%.
I don't want you to cook the meals.
You probably don't want me to. You know what? I'm good at like one dish at a time.
I know.
I am not a short order chef.
No.
I can't do that.
But also, you have a very limited number of meals that you cook well.
It's true.
And you cook them well.
I cook them well. Josh is
I'm going to be eating the same thing all the time.
Yeah, you are.
If you're in charge catering.
Yeah. But snacks I could do.
Yeah.
I would actually very much enjoy being crafty on set. Because then I could figure out what people's favorite snacks are. And it's like a love language to take care of you. I could make sure you had your favorite jelly beans or...
You'd be great at crafty.
I would love being crafty.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one that I thought would be fun would be to be a gaffer. I love light. I love seeing how light changes a scene.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a super cool, like, artistic job. Like, if there's a fakey window... You have to make me believe that's a real window using light.
I know. And you know what else I think is so cool? And we only did this a handful of times on the set of The Office, but I've done it on movies plenty of times where you're filming and it's broad daylight, but they make everything to look like nighttime.
Day for night. They call it day for night.
Yeah. And they black out the windows. But then they'll let a little light through like it's moonlight. But you step outside and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I couldn't do that job.
Lighting is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be good at it, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Those are good answers.
Yeah. So basically, if I wasn't acting, you think I'd be in charge of crafty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love to be directing, but I'm not sure it would be my strong suit. So I might be line producing. I might be your AD. I think I'd be good at it.
Oh, yeah. You'd be a great AD.
The scheduling. Yeah. I think I would like it. And if I were first AD, I'd get to be on set and I'd get to be around all the
And I'd funny be on stuff. Set as crafty. I'd be right outside the door there, but on stage. Crafty is a lot of times on the stage and it's just sort of behind like the main structures that you're filming in. So you kind of have to be quiet over there because, you know, you've got your snacks, but you see all the actors and the crew.
Well, if I were second AD, then I would be back there with you.
Yeah.
And then we would be best friends again.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're crafty and I'm second AD.
Done.
All right, everybody. Thank you for sending in all of your tidbits. Thank you for your letters.
Oh,
wait, Sam.
Sam, did you take your test?
I did. I am...
What are you?
Type 1, the reformer.
Type 1, the reformer, me.
Yeah.
We're the same.
Yeah.
Look at us.
I'm 95% the reformer, 89% the investigator.
Oh.
89% the challenger.
Okay.
What are you the least?
I am the least, the loyalist.
The loyalist.
The loyalist.
Okay. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know if it's super literal, but I find you to be very loyal.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
huh?
Not according to this quiz.
Again,
I don't know what you said on this quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you probably like didn't strongly disagree
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, a lot of these questions are what bother me about astrology, where it's like the questions are so generic they could apply to anybody.
But then all of a sudden you're a reformer.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Beagle, did you take it by any chance?
You know, I did. And I also got the reformer, which feels wrong.
What is this test? The test is the reformer.
The second one I got is the peacemaker, which I feel like I identify more with.
Okay.
So we have...
Do we have a good balance?
We have...
Well...
Two reformers, one reformer slash peacemaker, one helper slash challenger.
Is that a good way to make a podcast?
It's working.
Well, I think it's a pretty good way to make a podcast because y'all, this is our 300th episode.
Woohoo!
How's about that?
300 episodes.
Yeah.
Over 501 million downloads.
Hey.
I know. Really, I should write music.
Why don't we write jingles?
We should.
Well, listen, thank you to everyone who wrote in. We had a great time with this episode and we'll see you next week.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Office Ladies.
Office Ladies is a presentation of Odyssey and is produced by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Our senior producer is Matt Beagle and our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer.
Odyssey's executive producer is Leah Reese Dennis.
Office Ladies was mixed and mastered by Bill Schultz.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton.